to censorship.
Fuck censorship and his mama. I ain't no good. I ain't trying to be no good. I'm happy. I just sucked three young white girl pussies. I'm leaving town today. F, they don't kill me.
Corey and Joel with you live on the Corey and Joel radio show. What's going on?
Live on tape.
Yeah, we're back from our sort of extended hiatus, sort of, a little bit.
No, not for the audience.
Not for the audience, yeah. We've been doing a show every week, but we actually took 2 weeks from doing this little gig.
We gave you two shows last week.
Yeah, we
so
gave
get
you two live performance shows.
Yeah.
Now we're back in the studio and we're rocking.
Yeah.
With This Is the Rakes that's playing right now, if anyone cares. Very British, sort of punky pop stuff from the Rakes. And that's the Rakes. I'm going to pot down the
you
Rakes there.
You sure can. Okay.
And of course, at the top of the show, that was Richard Pryor. We normally don't even acknowledge the top of the show.
The immortal Richard Pryor.
But we will today because Richard Pryor died over the weekend. One of the greatest comedians of all time.
Yes.
This is so sad. I'm playing this not just for Richard, who was an inspiration, but to my chances in this year's Deadpool.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate.
Yeah.
Not only, well, we've been robbed of Richard Pryor for a long time because he had MS for like 15 years.
It's not that sad because the guy hasn't been active in a long time.
Yeah.
So it's like you're kind of used to it, you know?
You're used to him not being around and being in the public eye because...
He hasn't made a movie since, what was the one where he had to move? He was like... He had a U-Haul and he was moving.
No, it wasn't Moving Violations. That was with Wendy Jo Sperber, who also died.
Oh, yeah.
Not to tie in too many dead people in one show.
God, that would have been a good one.
Wendy Jo Sperber, big money, man. She had cancer.
And I kind of knew she was sick, too, and I didn't
even...
This is the problem, though. This year, I'm not going to make the same mistake. Last year, we did this Deadpool, okay?
Okay.
And Joel goes, hey, let's do a Deadpool. And I go, oh, okay. So we were like, I come over to do the Deadpool, and I scribble like a list of guys off the top of my head.
Okay.
Whoppy McDago over here he's been at the like Library of Congress looking up people's birth records. He's got like a NASA satellite photo of guys like in the hospital.
I did my
Joel
research.
Did like deep research. He got like the FBI involved. And
right.
It's just sad.
Just if I go back, Wendy Jo Sperber was the fat chick from Bosom Buddies, and she was kind of a character actor and in a million movies.
One of my top 10 favorite fat actresses. Clearly, yeah. Definitely up there.
She was in a lot of 80s comedies. And you would know who she was if you saw her.
She was in Private School, if I recall.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. Was Private Benjamin, was she in that as well, maybe?
Maybe. Without going into IMDb.
When did you just perfect die? But anyway, going back to the death pool, Richard Pryor died, and I was winning by 1 point, and we thought that, you know, with like... That was with, what, 6 weeks left of 2005?
It was coming down to the wire. It was tight, neck and neck.
And then I got Richard Pryor, which blew the doors right open. It was a 35-point score for me, and I'm now leading 78-41. This will be posted on the forum, I think. We'll put a link to
that. And it appears to be an insurmountable gap.
Right, because, Corey, you need...
I need Stephen Hawking.
Well, Stephen Hawking would tie us.
Yes.
And then, but wasn't the tiebreaker most deaths... Or did we never determine what the tiebreaker?
We didn't have a tiebreaker.
Well, if it is most deaths, I've had now 6 of my 25 that I listed originally have died.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. I mean, it's a weird power to have because 3 of my top 5 have died. Or is it 3 of the top 6? 4 of the top 6, I'm sorry. 5 of the top 10.
Number 5, Art Linkletter.
Art Linkletter and Elizabeth Taylor have held on. But yeah, I got Simon Wiesenthal. I got a lot of low scores here. Simon Wiesenthal, 3 points. Max Schmeling, 1 point.
How the hell is Grandpa Al Lewis?
Rosa Parks, 8 points. Grandpa Al Lewis, like, lost his legs. They, like, see, the guy's still alive.
Well, we both had our number one picks.
Yeah.
Go.
Well, I would say, honestly, if you look at this list, the biggest shocker to die was probably Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he just wasn't worth that many points.
It was good enough for me to have the lead for most of the year. And
right.
Because
the way I see it, Johnny was the only guy that died on our list who wasn't known sick. I guess he had emphysema, but that's not considered like a deadly disease.
I picked Johnny Carson. This is honestly I saw him on a tabloid. He was on like the Globe or something. It was like Johnny in Seclusion, and they showed like, you know, some shot of him, and he looked a big pasty beached whale.
I saw the same thing.
Yeah,
because Johnny went, and I remember exactly what it was. He went to a screening of The Aviator, which was out last fall.
Yeah, and he just looked like horse shit to me.
Well, but he's
and
old.
And so I said, okay, I'm going to put Johnny.
He's 79.
Well, no one's heard from Johnny. He was reclusive. He did one article with, he did one interview with Vanity Fair like 5 years ago. And then you haven't heard anything. So that's a good pick on the death pool. You go.
What? I'm saying he wasn't known to be ill, though. And that's why I think Johnny was surprising to me.
Meanwhile, my number eight pick, Pat Summerall, okay? That guy's gone through more booze.
Well.
Than Oktoberfest, you know, in Munich. I mean, that guy, oh, how is he alive?
Pat Summerall. Well, he still does football, doesn't he? He does some sports, some football.
Fumble.
Yeah, Pat Summerall's really, he was
like the biggest old-time drinker in his day. Like, he would be blitzed in the booth covering the Cowboys.
Summerall was a funny dude, man. He was drunk and he was really bad. He was really getting every guy's name
a couple
wrong.
Of our picks don't look good because, like, now Jerry Lewis is on my list. Yeah. He's number seven on my list. And you have Jack Klugman.
Mm-hmm.
Both those guys are out there doing books on their old partners.
And I thought this guy was a sure victory was Jake the Snake Roberts, and he went out on like a whole. They released a DVD of him in WWE.
You picked the wrong wrestler, Eddie Guerrero.
And Eddie Guerrero drops dead, and nobody.
Let me tell you, Eddie Guerrero would have blown this thing wide open.
Yeah, I wish I could have thought of Eddie Guerrero, but I actually like Eddie Guerrero.
Who knew Eddie Guerrero was, you know?
No, well, he did. He did a lot of drugs and drinking, and he was in bad car accidents.
On next year's Deadpool list, I will have a wrestler. You have to have a wrestler.
Because
one dies every year.
But usually it's a retired guy. The active star top guys rarely die.
Well, Bret Hart is mine, and he's not an active guy.
And he's retired. And he's right, okay.
And Jake Roberts is hardly active. Have you seen any of his matches?
But Jake's like 300 pounds. He's washed up. He would be a perfect candidate to
crack.
Die.
No, I'm not doubting your Jake Roberts call. I'm just saying.
Bret Hart seems like he's kind of keeping in shape.
Deadpool 101. No, but the whole Hart family has died. It's a tragedy. You know what I mean?
The whole Hart.
No, they have.
Stu died, but he was 85, and Owen fell out of the ceiling.
His brother-in-law was the British Bulldog.
British Bulldog died, yeah.
You know, his brother fell and broke his head. There's wrestling tragedies. Like, these families get cursed, like the Von Erichs.
I don't know.
The whole Von Erich family died within, like, 10 years of each other.
The whole
family. There's one. Isn't there one brother left?
Mike is still alive, Mike, who's probably the best wrestler of all of us.
And he buried all of his brothers.
Yeah.
Kerry Russell was one like, we could talk wrestling all day,
Yeah, we don't
folks.
Want to talk wrestling, we got but a the lot Death of Pool.
What I'm telling you is you want to play the Death Pool at home. People come up to me, and I'm evil now. I'm a total sick fuck. Whenever anybody dies, people go, they're like, oh, man, did you hear Eugene McCarthy died? I'm like, damn, he would have been good in my pool.
But that, I don't...
Wendy Jo Sperber, goddammit!
Yeah, Wendy Jo Sperber, but how do you know?
People's deaths don't mean anything to me except points on the board.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not declaring defeat because I have a couple weeks and, you know, I could get on a hot streak. Fidel Castro could croak.
Entirely possible.
And Ford is looking ill.
Jerry Ford is going to the hospital, so.
What we're doing now this year, folks, we're going to open it up a little bit. And we're going to have some other show friends.
People have expressed interest in getting in on the death pool. And so, I don't really know, because we're going to do a live draft. I don't know that we could. I'd like to get like a listener
you know
involved.
What? If you guys want to do a listener Deadpool, you guys go ahead. We're going to have a show Deadpool ring, like a league.
Well, we could have listeners mail us their top 50 or something and give them all 10.
All right,
or
we
something.
Could maybe that.
We'll think about that.
Top 10s, because 50 is a long list.
Well, we could send them to send in 50 and then they would get their top 10 that aren't drafted by other people. Do you know what I mean? Because everyone would start putting the same
This
names
sounds
on
like a
list.
Job for the message board.
We'll hash this out on the message board.
We'll work out the details, but we are going to have, we're going to open it up, not just Joel and I, but a league.
Well, but when we do our thing, we'll do a live draft. We did a draft just in private.
We'll do a live on-air draft.
We'll do a live on-air draft with the rest of our...
We'll be in the war room.
Teammates, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I'm sure we can get Kim. We'll probably want in on this.
I think my girlfriend Kim has expressed interest.
I want to get hardcore players, though, guys that are going to really pay attention.
Yeah, I know.
And we'll have...
So we'll think about that.
Maybe Nigel Rosenbloom might want to get involved.
Nigel would be a good guest.
I could see him doing this.
Okay,
We could get some people in.
All right.
Chill would just... Chill would be naming black people we'd never heard
no,
of.
No, Chill would name 50 white people he hopes are going to die.
Oh.
That's what Chill would do. So anyway, Richard, do you want to eulogize Richard Pryor a little more? Because
that's true. Now it this hurt me twice. this death hurt me because...
Aside from the death blow,
your
I think
fat
we've
ass
done
got
that.
Points.
I know.
And Richard Pryor was a you know, a great comedian.
He was
and,
a great comedian.
And definitely when I was a kid growing up, there was nobody bigger than Richard Pryor.
No.
You know, I grew up in the late 70s, early 80s, and like, you know, when I was young, when I was real young,
uh-huh.
and Richard Pryor was everywhere, you know?
Yeah, he was like
all over
the biggest
place.
Guy.
Yeah, he was one of the biggest names in show business at the time, and like, I even liked him, when I was a kid, I liked him in stuff like The Toy. I remember going and seeing that in the movie uh-huh. theater, which was crap. I mean, it really wasn't.
It wasn't a great movie, but
I didn't realize
it was a good kids movie.
Well, it's like if you saw Muhammad Ali later in his career, you didn't know how great he was.
Yeah.
And so that's why I realized I was seeing Richard Pryor kind of diminished, like Brewster's Millions and stuff like that.
What's the one where he takes a busload of kids? Is that Bustin'
Loose?
Oh,
what is that?
Is it
Bustin' Loose? I think is right, yeah.
Bustin' Loose. And that's a great movie. That's just a good movie.
It's a fun, yeah, but he was starting to do like Bad News Barry kind of stuff.
Yeah.
More kid fare, which. For Richard Pryor, who was the most hardcore motherfucker of all time.
Well, yeah.
It was kind of weird to see him do that stuff.
But he was getting good money to do that stuff, too, so yeah. You can't blame him, you know.
I remember my dad just, like, watching Richard Pryor doing it. I don't know what it was that he was watching. It was, like, him doing his act.
Yeah.
And my dad just, like, crying tears of, you're just going to stop breathing.
Yeah. Well, I knew him from all those movies, you know, like Live on the Sunset Strip, the concert movies.
Yeah, I didn't see those until later. And then,
but I remember those had come out theatrically, and, like, my older cousins and friends were all, like, sneaking in to see Richard Pryor
movies.
You know,
actually, my dad talked about that shit so much, I kind of knew the material because my dad loved it.
And then, like, in the early days of cable, those were on a lot, and those are really
good. Right. Those are amazing. I mean,
if you ever get to see those, Live on the Sunset Strip and...
sometimes comics, like...
Some of the other Richard Pryor live things.
Like Lenny Bruce, I really admire, but if you try and listen to Lenny Bruce now, it's not that fun.
No.
It's, you know, hey, can you dig this cat? This Eisenhower is crazy. You know, it's like, it's very, like, early 60s. You don't see you dig the way that chicks operate these days. You got to understand. It's like this whole hipster thing. Pryor, you can watch, and it's still funny.
It's still fun.
It's really just
And so many people have sort of, like, he became the prototype of the black comedian.
Yeah.
So much to the point that it's annoying now that guys are doing 10,000, you know, we're 10 times removed from the original.
I mentioned this on the message board, but there's a movie called Watt Stacks, which was, like, his first big movie appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that bit where he, like, talks about like talking to, you know, Nation of Islam guys, and they're like, you see, to quantify the rectitude of the mummification, Damon Wayans went and stole that bit and put it on In Living Color straight up. You know, just like guys rip that stuff off. And
yeah, Damon Wayans and Eddie Murphy and a lot of those guys were really just direct ripoffs of Richard Pryor. And
yeah,
you know. If you want to know what Richard Pryor was like, Chris Rock now, like Chris Rock stand up anyway, would be the closest thing to, like, what Richard Pryor's stuff was. Because it was somewhat political, but yet it was about drugs and it was about other stuff.
Yeah, he was never explicitly political,
no.
But he was...
He had a tinge of that.
Yeah.
More so than, like, Eddie Murphy did. Because Eddie Murphy took it, but Eddie Murphy just took the sex and the drugs.
Right.
Sort of element of it.
Pryor's the real deal. I mean,
Pryor's, yeah.
You know, a lot of times you'll get a guy that everybody goes, oh, he's the greatest thing that ever was. And you question that. You go... No, but Richard Pryor stands up. He's a Hall of Famer. And his good buddy Gene Wilder, he did all those movies.
Yeah, do you have that do you have that clip I found?
Now,
this is from...
No, those movies like Silver Streak is good.
Uh-huh.
And then there's Stir Crazy, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But then they did one stuff later on like Hear No Evil, See No Evil, which is not so good.
And Richard was a little MS-ing at that point.
He was starting to flake out,
yeah. He was real skinny.
Do we have Michael J. Fox on a Deadpool, by the
no,
way?
No, I don't think so, but that's
a top draft pick.
Now I'm thinking. The wheels are turning. The wheels...
I can do 80 minutes on Deadpool, folks.
The wheels are spinning. All right.
But Richard and Gene Wilder worked together a lot. Here
this
they
is
go.
Funny.
Gene Wilder said that
Gene Wilder ain't shit. He's a faggot.
No, come on. You don't mean that.
Yeah, I mean it. But you ain't gonna put it on.
Is that why he said he was gonna marry you?
Yeah, he can suck my dick. I don't care. I like Gene though, because he's funny.
Did he?
But he's queer as a $3 bill.
That's him. That's wow. from one of those celebrities at their worst CDs. Oh. He goes on and on about cocaine and stuff. And
what a tribute to his closest friend.
And you want to play the opening clip again. That's so.
You want to hear that one?
Well,
it's short.
Fuck censorship and his mama. I ain't no good. I ain't trying to be no good. I'm happy. I just sucked 3 young white girl pussies. I'm leaving town today. F, they don't kill me.
Yeah, he was. So, I think he was doing Stir Crazy at the time. It was like a junket for that or something.
Oh.
And like he was in Arizona shooting it, and he was talking about all the white people there and how they wanted to lynch him.
Well,
so
of
he's there eating their white girl pussies.
He co-wrote Blazing Saddles and was going to star in it.
Oh, okay.
And then for some reason they got Cleavon Little instead.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, well, great guy. Anyway, it's Richard amazing Pryor. He hit 65 with all the, like, you can't do that much cocaine.
He lit himself on fire.
The fool lit himself on fire.
Yeah.
And ran down the street. That's hardcore. We don't. I want to see Dane Cook do that.
No.
Where is your commitment to your art?
Fuck Dane Cook.
I got to hear people tell me how funny Dane Cook is every day. And I'm like, can you stop?
I know.
Dane Cook sweats.
There's an article.
I guess he's funny because he sweats.
He sweats. He's really working hard.
He's really
hard
intense.
On stage.
He's yelling and running around and
fuck
beating
Dane
the air
Cook.
With drumsticks.
There's a
light your ass on fire, Dane Cook, if you're really funny.
There's a thing about how David Cross. I found this link today. I'll send it to you. But Dave, maybe I'll put it on the forum too. David Cross wrote a letter to Larry the Cable Guy. And like
asking him to stop,
but more or less. But then he like insulted Larry the Cable Guy. Like I guess Larry had said bad stuff about David, and David was like, "Hey, I got my start in the South." You know, David's like, "I was."
He's from Georgia.
Yeah, he's like, "I was doing comedy in Atlanta at the Punchline back." You know, when you were starting out, and then like at one point he goes, "Larry and Dane Cook should have a my audience is so great, they're the greatest thing in the world ass kiss contest." About how they both love their audiences so much. So he almost draws a parallel between Dane Cook fans and Larry the Cable Guy fans.
Oh, they're both idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're two completely different kind of idiots.
Yeah. Anyone that's done live comedy hears Get Her Done. If you're in the United States anyway, right. Rednecks will yell that out in the middle of the show, which is Larry the Cable Guy's bullshit expression.
Here's the difference between Dane Cook and Larry the Cable Guy fans. They both go to the mall. The Larry the Cable Guy fans go to the Bass Outdoor World. And the Dane Cook fans go to Hot Topic.
Well, that's
the only difference.
Larry the Cable Guy fans are at Walmart.
That's true, yeah.
Definitely. Dane Cook fans are at the, I don't know.
Yeah, Hot Topic.
They're at Old Navy.
Yeah, Spencer's Gifts.
Banana Republic.
I guess if I got an ass full of Dane Cook is funny, I got to hear that.
I know. I just kept. I know.
I don't even tell people I do comedy anymore, like because I hardly do. But when I do comedy, I hate to tell people. Or people go, "I heard you're a comedian." I'm like, "Yeah." And like the question, you get two questions. You ever do that Second City?
Yeah, I hate that's so annoying. You have to explain to people that that's not comedy.
Hey man, Dane Cook is funny.
Yeah,
I hear that fucking 50,000 times a week.
Yeah,
stop it.
Dane Cook sucks. He was on SNL. I tried to watch. He did like a 20-minute opening stand-up monologue.
And he sweated? Was he sweating?
I don't know. It was dreadful. I tried watching it. I couldn't.
Here's the thing, Nimrods, by the way. I'm a stand-up. Joel's a stand-up.
Yeah.
We don't do improv.
Yeah. If you're Second City's not.
We don't play freeze tag.
You know what I always hear, Meeple? My nephew was taking classes at the Second City. He wants to be a comedian. I'm like,
good for him.
You're taking classes for no. All you're doing is. The guy that, the improv guy at Second City doesn't want to get a real job.
Right.
So he's taking money from your nephew, and that's all there is to it. And he's learning zero that he wouldn't.
I do not want to play freeze tag. Yeah. I do not want to play bus driver.
Yeah.
I don't want party games. I don't.
All improv is it's people playing charades.
It
and
is.
People are paying money to watch it, and I have no idea why.
It's retarded.
So if you're really good at charades.
If you are serious about doing improv comedy. Go to Chicago or New York City, and the rest of you shut the fuck up. Stop. the only thing I will say, because look, there's three places. You go to the Improv Olympic.
Sure.
Or Second City itself in Chicago, and maybe.
Isn't the Groundlings in L.A.
The Groundlings
or San
is
Francisco
in L.A. Yeah, okay. The Groundlings is in L.A. The Groundlings and Improv Olympic and those are the places that like actually turn out people that are on like shows like Saturday.
There's
Night
something
Live
in New York, isn't the state? Who
there's
the
Upright Citizens Brigade.
Upright Citizens Brigade.
I know too much about this crap, but
I know we're.
But those are the actually like those are the official like friend, places that they recruit for Saturday Night Live. If our you want to be on that crap,
our friend Ray DeVito worked with Upright Citizens Brigade.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't a cast member, but he was like someone
that's like
affiliated.
Amy Poehler came out of that and all that stuff. But anyway,
all right.
Enough of that. I will say only this about improv. The girls are crazy sluts.
Well, any chick that wants to be an actress is looking for, like, attention. So those girls, they're usually pretty easy. They're usually easy to get in the
But
sack.
The improv girl is...
Not that I would know, but that's...
The improv girl is just a half step slower than the regular actress girl.
Yeah.
She's not quite as hot, so she goes, I can be funny. Uh-huh. Seriously needs a deep dicking. That's you know what I recommend. That's on my hot 100 list of crazy chicks to bang.
Is a chick from improv?
Improv chick. I'm gonna put that high in the list. That's it's not quite as high as
well, maybe formulate an actual.
I'm gonna make an actual
list. It on the show.
Comedy club waitress is the number one slot.
It's we've been doing the show for 8 months.
Yeah,
it's time you produced a bit. Come on,
I could produce.
It'd be time to finally prepare something. You do your list of chicks to bang.
I've got a great bit, but we don't have the materials for it.
Yeah, I know what you're
for craft. We'll
do
arts
that.
And crafts. We're going to do that
visual. Yeah, that's going to work on the radio.
It really will.
All right. So, anyway, speaking of live comedy, we got a lot of. We'll read the email later, but do you want to talk about how the live show went?
Because
it went really well. I mean, there's nothing negative. There's no scandal behind it. But
no.
I mean, if you haven't heard it, go download shows 44 and 45. It's us and a bunch of our buddies doing stand up comedy, and it was live at Club Bart.
It went well. It's hard to, you know what, it is really hard to talk about things that go well. You know, you can't,
there was no negative. But I'll tell you what, by the end of that, and some people have said that show 44 was better than 45, and a lot of that for me was I was exhausted by the end.
And
just because we had set up for that at like 7:30 we were over there setting up. Yeah. We started it live at like 10:30, so we had done like 3 hours of prep. And then like a 2.5 hour show.
When we just regularly do a show over there, it's long.
Right, but that's...
And then doing the radio show, it even seemed longer.
Well, because we were on stage the whole time. We couldn't take a break. It was just up there, and, you know, and then the technical end, I had to make sure that the iRiver... The whole thing was recorded on an iRiver, if you care how we did it. We took our radio regular setup that we do the show with, plugged it all into the PA system at Club Bart, and then recorded it on my iRiver out of our board. And
don't give it away because then they'll go on.
Then every other douchebag podcast.
No other podcasters are doing live shows like that.
No.
None of them.
No. And I actually wrote that on Podcast Alley about how we
innovated.
Except
for the My Commute guy.
Well, he's innovating in his own way.
Yeah, he is.
He's not doing
it. He's not even doing it anymore.
But I said, I think this is a first for podcasting. I don't think anyone has done a live comedy show.
I think Red Bar Radio does live, but they were like a regular radio show. I'm confused about them.
No, they're not a regular radio show, I don't think.
I think they've done some live stuff.
But they don't do it live like we did it as but we didn't do we did a live and we did it differently from even like a real radio show does a remote. We did it as an actual show for people to watch while you're there.
Yes.
Rather than just two guys who were broadcasting.
They do in remotes is people just will sit in the corner and you may not even hear them.
Right, because their PA isn't meant for you to even hear it. Maybe you can hear it if you get real close, but normally people don't listen and don't pay attention to those.
They're like at the auto show or something and they're sitting there by the fudge.
Or like when you go to the Lions game, there'll be a guy standing out, you know, there'll be guys set up out in front of the stadium or the restaurant.
And you can't really hear them.
And you can't really hear them, so you sit there and you look at them and they're like, hey, it's those guys from the radio. And then you go get a beer because you can't watch it or listen to it.
You know what? They're always at like Buffalo Wild Wings.
No, all the restaurants,
sports bars.
They do all the live shows from that.
I don't know how far the BW3 chain extends, but
it's national. It is.
If you've got a BW3,
Buffalo Wild Wings. It's sort of a sports bar.
Yeah,
but we did.
You're right. We did a live show for the audience to listen
for
to.
For the audience to listen to live and enjoy. And I hope you all enjoyed it. I mean, we got a lot of good email. We're gonna do a mailbag in the second half today.
Okay,
we're gonna bring up a lot of issues there. But I think our buddy Mike Lundy's getting a booking out of that. Am I right about that?
Can we safely say
Mike Lundy was real?
There's
funny?
A couple guys. I would say Pete Weiss would get a booking.
We could have
in
Pete
studio.
On absolutely and Chill. We've already had him. We'll have Chill back.
You know, Russ did a good job.
Russ did a nice job, but
yeah,
we addressed the Russ issues, didn't we?
we kind of covered a lot of Russ.
How Russ just goes on all day and doesn't shut up. And
he's got a lot of topics in him, though.
It's
you know, if you ever want to take a break, we'll just bring in Russ. Because I could go, like, take a piss.
If I get laryngitis or something, or right. if I somehow don't feel up to it, we'll
you start
call
sounding
Russ.
Like Jack Klugman.
Yeah.
So I tell you, Tony Randall and I, one time we were in a toboggan together. No.
I did the show.
I think Tony got a boner.
I did the show being real sick. I think you did the show real sick one week.
Oh, yeah.
I did it through back pain. I was in real, real bad back pain a couple of those, yeah. a couple of shows over the summer. So we've gone through it, but now we'll bring in Russ.
We suffer for our art.
We'll bring in Russ, and all will be good.
As a week, if I just don't give a fuck, I'll just bring in Russ and just, you know, be like, hey, Russ, how what about that, how about your dune buggy? And then you get about a good 90 minutes on his dune buggy, and then, you know. Or he'll tell you about the time he interviewed the Iron Sheik, about, you know.
Oh, God. Russ was good on the show.
Did
we
you know the
him.
Iron Sheik was in the Irani Secret Service?
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
We like Russ.
Yeah.
Even though we're putting him down, we do like him.
Pete Weiss would be funny.
Pete was a good guest.
I don't know how long we could actually sit in the same room with Pete and be comfortable, but we'll get a Pete on.
He got so pissed. The one thing that was a little bit, the one guy who came out of it unhappy was when you got it over there.
Yeah, it's
do you have the clip?
Yeah,
anyway, yeah. When Pete Weiss came up, we played music for people. Sometimes it was like, we played this for Pete Weiss, Anthony and the Johnsons. And I don't think he knew what Anthony and the Johnsons was, that it's this total faggot music. But he turned around and looked at you like in anger. The gay stink eye.
You a-hole.
It was just really bad. He really...
Oh, yeah. Well, come on.
Yeah,
what?
I know. It was funny. I mean, I didn't think you'd have the balls to do it, but we played, you know... We played Cocaine for John Tortolotti and Forever in Blue Jeans for Bill Bouchard.
Sure.
So...
Sure.
I guess it was appropriate that Pete Weiss got...
Yeah.
One day he's going to be... But Pete's not even a guy that wants to be a woman.
Right.
You wouldn't know Pete's gay, I don't think. Really, would you?
Yeah, you would. No, I hear Pete's not. I hear Pete's not gay now. That's what I hear.
Whoa, wait! Pete's not gay now.
That's what I keep getting told.
Somebody told you Pete's not gay now.
I keep getting the spin, like, lay off the gay stuff on Pete because he's not gay. I'm like, okay.
Who told you Pete's not gay?
Several different friends and associates of the show, and
I tried to blow him. He's not gay. Is that what you heard? What did you?
No, I mean,
he's just not gay anymore.
I don't think the man's agony is really a topic for the discussion on the radio.
He was gay, and now he's not?
Apparently.
Now we got to book him. You know what? That's fine. Fine. We'll drop it.
We're going to discuss it.
We'll drop it, and we'll
because I don't know the details, but I hear now he's into chicks. I don't think you can put a genie back in that bottle. I don't think that genie goes back in.
That's like me showing up in Corey. Corey, I'm gay now. I decided I like men.
Well, you had that happen. We talked about this before. You had a friend that you knew for years.
Wow.
Who one day just was like, I'm gay.
No, well, he came out and said he's gay.
But you didn't really suspect him.
But he had a girlfriend, but right. He was gay the whole time. It's not like he decided he was gay.
Right.
He just didn't tell anyone he was gay.
But that's shocking.
That's shocking, but that's different from, well, what is he going to say? Hey, I really have always loved women, but I suck some dick. In the meantime, just for the hell of it. I mean, you know what I mean? You don't say that.
Yeah.
That's not right. You can go the other way. You can be gay and have relationships with women, and then all of a sudden you come out, you're gay, and you stay gay. But you don't, like, you're not straight, and then have a gay fling,
you don't
and
think
then
so?
Go,
no?
Eh, you know what? I don't like being gay. I'm going to go back to being straight.
Really?
It doesn't work that way, I don't think. It's a one-way street. You know what I mean?
Well, it's an exit, not an entrance.
I don't know. Am I saying anything wrong in that?
I mean, look, we're obviously very sensitive. This is the we're doing the show live from Ferndale, which is like homosexual capital of Southeast Michigan.
Oh, yeah. If not Ann Arbor, but yeah.
I think we're going to go over to the Affirmations Gay and Lesbian Center afterwards and give CDs of our show out to to those.
Well, maybe we should have somebody in from the center to actually discuss if you can like go. But you can't be straight and then have gay.
No,
you can't have a gay thing and then decide you don't like being gay and you want to be straight again.
I think pretty much the first cock you suck is the last credibility you'll ever have as a straight man.
Yeah, you can't.
It doesn't go back in the mind.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
unless you're David Bowie, who apparently got off the hook.
Well, David Bowie, and the other one I was thinking about was they say John Lennon let Brian Epstein give him a hand job. That was in that new book.
They have claimed that many times. That,
whatever the new, there's like a thousand pages.
There was a movie. There was an indie movie about
how they
Brian
went off
and John
and
they
loved each other.
Something.
Yeah,
I never really bought that.
I heard the story according to this new biography was that he let Epstein give him a handy because they were on vacation and they were drunk or something.
That Brian Epstein, man.
You know what Grammy Hall would call a real Jew.
Yeah, okay,
but I think that story is bogus, and I'll tell you why. Epstein's not an Asian.
All right. Now, you know, now that's just wrong on a
whole. Lennon had a yellow fetish, man.
He
had yellow fever.
To race baiting.
Okay. All right. He had a hot blonde wife, Cynthia.
All right.
He dumped her for Yoko.
He did. And then he went off with May Pang.
And May Pang. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was totally into Asians.
All right.
That's
he was
what
into
he,
Asians.
He had a yellow fetish. I don't think if George Takei was the manager of the Beatles,
maybe he
would have let him get a hand
job.
No,
I don't know.
No. We need some George Takei clips.
I don't think John Lennon, you could call John Lennon a fag. That's the point, though, that.
I don't think you could safely call him. By the way, it was.
That's faggot stuff.
Yeah,
it's too late coming.
You
want to
call by its name, that's strictly for fags.
Yeah.
This is, you know, we didn't talk about that. That happened last week, the 25th anniversary of John Lennon dying.
Yeah, John Lennon was shot and killed 25 years ago. And I don't know how you make that funny. So let's move along, shall we, people? So we did the live show. Everyone liked that. And then what else has been going on? We took kind of a week off then.
Yeah.
We posted the show last week and we recorded those little wraparound things.
We could have taken two off, apparently.
We could have. Well, it was good. It's good to come back. We got a lot has happened in the world.
This is a house cleaning show. We got a lot to get
a little
through,
bit. We don't have any guests, but we'll have some guests coming up in the future.
Who needs guests when you got this talent?
Exactly. We saw some movies. Oh, let's talk about movies. Can we do that?
Wait, hold on, Joel. Let me get my Skype operated. Let's talk to...
let's interview the guys from Barefoot Radio.
Okay, let's talk to the Tipsy Chicks on Skype.
Oh, can we do that, too? You know, we had said we weren't doing bonus features. We did sort of a whiny... And that'll be a lot in the email, we got about that, about how we whined and complained about how we weren't doing... So we put out bonus features for the live show. We did some behind-the-scenes pictures.
Yeah.
And we did... the little blooper thing at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
So we are going to give you a new bonus feature. It's going to be Joel FM. That's my music. That's my solo project, if you will. This is my music show. And I'm going to be playing like an hour of music, or I think it was about an hour.
Really?
You can download that. It's actually in a higher bit rate than the actual real show. So the music will all sound good.
Yeah, I haven't heard it yet.
Corey hasn't even heard it, but I did it sort of by myself.
I heard it was like this.
That was. Thank you very much.
I haven't heard Joel.
Well,
FM.
If you want, you know, because we play a lot of cool music on the show,
and cut a solo project.
I went because I just did it as an experiment, and it turned out good. So I thought I'd give it as a bonus feature to everybody. And I had at the time a world exclusive from the Strokes, but now I think they actually released the single, so you can hear the song. So anyway, go get Joel FM number one if you're on the mailing list.
I think there's a video for that song.
No, it's a different thing. So you don't even know what it is.
I haven't heard Joel FM.
You haven't heard Joel FM. Well, you and the rest of our listeners that are on the mailing list should go get Joel FM. And if you're
I think
you're not
you played this song, though, right?
Did I play this? You know the kids' bop version of Take Me Out? No, I did not.
No, that's not on it.
I heard they're doing Float On by, what's the name of it? A Modest Mouse on the new Kids Bop.
This is on the Joel FM.
Oh, this is not on Joel FM. Actually, I would play this because it sucks. I don't even want to waste. No, we got to talk about movies. Fuck that. That's Flaming Lips doing Bohemian Rhapsody. Listen, if you want to say one thing about Queen, if you like him or not, Freddie Mercury could really sing. Wayne from Flaming Lips cannot sing.
This is all like synthesized.
It's a horrible version of the song.
It's all processed through.
Even if you
stuff.
Hate Bohemian Rhapsody, you have to admit that
the
that's
whole
a bad
appeal
job
of that
it.
Queen, you're right, is that they could actually really sing.
Yeah,
those are really complicated.
And then
harmonies.
Flaming Lips did it. And Flaming Lips, granted, have really cool production on their albums. They just can't pull that off vocally. So
no.
bad move, guys. Anyway, movies.
Oh, are we going to do that now?
Why not? Well, why not? Because
how much time do we have?
Let's do a little bit of movie, and then maybe we'll come. You want to do the Golden Globes first, and then we'll talk about the
movie? Let's do the Golden Globes, and we'll do the reviews.
Okay, the Golden Globe nominations came out today, and I have them.
Yes, sir.
And I saw some of these, so I'm going to... Well, first of all... Well, actually, I'll say... here are the drama, best picture drama. Do you have a drum roll or anything? Probably not. Okay, I'm just going to
do it. I do somewhere.
On your giant list of shit. Okay. Here's the drama, The Constant Gardener. Constant Gardener. That was with Ray Fiennes in Africa. Yeah. Good Night and Good Luck.
Yeah.
That was George Clooney's movie about...
Yes, sir. Saw that.
About... what was the name of the guy in that movie?
Edward R. Murrow.
Edward R. Murrow. And A History of Violence, which I saw, David Cronenberg's movie.
Yeah.
Excellent. But the best movie on this list. And then the one I haven't seen, Match Point, the new Woody Allen movie.
I didn't see it
with Scarlett Johansson, and I've heard that that's real good.
I was moving the week that this screened.
And then I guess we can see this tomorrow, apparently. Brokeback Mountain.
It's a screening tomorrow.
The gay cowboy movie, which we've talked about on the forum, we've talked about on the show in the past, is nominated for Best Drama Picture.
Ooh, boy.
Corey, your favorite of those? Or have you only seen Good Night and Good Luck?
I saw Constant Gardener.
Okay.
Those are both good.
Constant Gardener, I think, is a little overrated.
Those are it, really?
I think they're both a little overrated.
Yeah.
I didn't like either of those that much. I liked them both,
I'm really surprised, Syriana isn't on that list.
Well, they do have the musical movies. Do you want to do those? These are gay.
Oh, that's right. The Golden Globes. You know,
they separated.
Here's the problem with what happened this year. We waited around and waited around. There was absolutely fuck all that came out all year that was any good.
Mm-hmm.
It was just poop after poop after poop. Until September. Then a bunch of movies came out, and you went, oh, good, now the good season's here. And they were good, but why is The Squid and the Whale not on there?
Okay, The Squid and the Whale is in the musical comedy category with Walk the Line.
Okay. That's right. The Golden Globes has
the producers.
They have a different line.
They have a different line. So technically, Squid and the Whale could be Best Picture, and then one of these would get cut, you know. Like, if they're not, but they can nominate as many as they want at the Oscars, can't they? Can't they nominate six movies and stuff?
Something, I don't know.
I think they have a slightly different rule, so they could incorporate those. But yeah, Squid and the Whale was like...
I'd say Squid and the Whale is really good.
Because I saw Constant Gardener, it was fine. It was the guy who made City of God, which really is maybe one of the greatest movies ever made. So, it wasn't as... Compared to that, it wasn't as good.
The problem is with Squid and the Whale is it doesn't have that big scope.
Yeah.
You know... Usually you got to be on a camel in Africa with Meryl Streep,
right? Well,
for people to give you.
Well, that's what Constant Gardener sort of is in that respect. Good Night and Good Luck. Don't bother with that. I don't think. I mean, it's fine. It's a good encapsulation and dramatization of that period. But a lot of it is they're just recreating CBS broadcasts. It's literally, I believe, 81 minutes long. It's
authentic without being deep.
Yeah, and it just there's not much to it. Look. Edward R. Murrow went through a lot of shit with Joe McCarthy, and you can read that on Wikipedia, and don't bother watching it.
The problem is it's a movie that's all build up about suspense, and then none of the suspense really amounts to much.
And ultimately, I'm going to ruin it. I'm going to spoil it.
Yeah?
They cancel the show. Anyway, don't bother now. You heard it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, CBS canceled the show, and they're dicks.
You know what the problem is this year, though? It's all these movies are very good and respectable and well done, but there's nothing grabs you.
Well, History of Violence, I'm glad, got a nomination because I thought that was really cool. I thought it was shot well.
Yeah.
And it was from like a comic book or a graphic novel or whatever, so it was sort of a unique movie to get that sort of a nomination.
Yeah. I didn't see Match Point, but it's got Scarlett Johansson.
And you're all over that then.
But it's Woody Allen, and he's never once shown us titties. And
Woody Allen never shown us titties.
It's a complete failure in that regard.
I'm going to go through that.
Has never once asked an actress to
know.
He's had every hot piece of ass.
Has he never even made an R? Well, some of those movies were R just because of content.
Yeah, he's made R movies, sure, but never once has there been any titty. Oh, except for the giant titty in Everything You
Know About Sex.
It's a big balloon.
Okay, yeah.
The guy is a sex fiend.
The chick actually is naked in that. The chick that's having the orgasm brain.
Oh, right.
You see her boobs. But I know what you're saying. You never saw Diane Keaton.
For all the guy talks about sex, he's a sex fiend.
Right.
He goes and shags a freaking Cambodian refugee. she's Korean. Excuse me. I apologize. I'm sorry to the people of Cambodia. Woody Allen did not penetrate one of your daughters. It was those.
All right, can you just get to the point?
It was those oval-faced gooks from Korea.
Oh,
no, so, Woody Allen gets caught with this MASH extra that happens to be one of Mia Farrow's adoptees. And stop adopting children, by the way. Stop at like 12. You don't need 35 adopted kids, because sooner or later Woody's going to bang one. Anyway, he can't show his titties.
No,
that's why he's never a failure. And that's why he's in a failure at the American box office.
And he's not in Match Point either. His movies do better when he's in
them. If Woody had put Christina Ricci's titties out in that last movie, anything else?
Yeah.
Huge box office.
Do you want to do actors or need an idea?
Yeah, you're good. Care.
Here's drama actors: Russell Crowe, Cinderella Man, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Capote.
Yeah.
Terrence Howard for Hustle and Flow.
See, I'm surprised none of these movies got nominated.
Capote, I saw. Philip Seymour Hoffman's real good in it, but again, I thought it was a lot like Good Night and Good Luck. It was more retelling. It wasn't interesting cinematically. It was like a
right,
play.
Right.
But Heath Ledger in Brokeback Fag Mountain. That's the actual name. It says it right here on the nomination. Fag Mountain and
Up on Queer Street.
David Strathairn.
This is my favorite scene from there.
From Brooklyn. I'm your Huckleberry.
That, so that's beautiful. It. That's, yeah, that's it. And then actresses who give a shit. All right. Although Maria Bello showed her cooch in History of Violence and got nominated. So.
Well, God bless there.
They actually 69 in that movie. It's really good. History of Violence.
I think it's time we put some globes back in the Golden Globes. You know what I'm saying?
Maria Bello is, yeah, she's hot. She's actually more.
See a movie called The Cooler.
The Cooler. She's a little more naked in The Cooler.
Yeah.
But it's History of Violence
is a decent
movie.
Flick with William H. Macy.
Cooler's a good movie. And
Daniel, with Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm. And, did you see, I don't know if you saw Saturday Night Live.
I haven't seen Saturday Night Live in years.
And I've seen the last two, one because I was snowed in a hotel two Saturdays ago on the road. And last week I watched it because I got the HD TV and it looked really cool in HD. But they did Brokeback Goldmine, and it was like two prospectors with giant gray beards, and they fell in love. It was kind of funny.
That's kind of funny.
It went on too long, but it was a good kind. Like everything else in SNL.
Everything on there.
Every time they have a good concept, it all goes horribly wrong. So, and we want to talk about. I think we should. Should we take a break?
What were the actresses? Maria Bello.
You want to do? Oh, real quick, Maria Bello. This is a drama. Maria Bello, Felicity Huffman in Transamerica, Gwyneth Paltrow in Proof, Charlize Theron in Proof. I said Proof.
Proof. Proof.
Proof.
In Proof.
Charlize Theron in North Country and. Ziggy Zangy Zang Zang, Where's My Egg
Zangy
Roll?
In
Memoirs of a
Memoir
Geisha.
Of a Geisha, which I saw. I could do a review of that.
I will take beef and broccoli with your Golden Globe. All right.
Hey, she's Chinese.
You're not the only one that can be racist.
There you go.
All right. So, you want to... Well, and then we saw Narnia together.
Well, that'll be after the break.
We'll do it after the break, and you're going to review King Kong after the break.
Absolutely.
So don't forget, let's do a couple quick plugs here before we go to the break. PodcastAlley.com. You guys can vote for us. A lot of people have voted, so thank you. We'll get to that in the email.
Yeah.
Because people bitched at us for whining about that, but thanks for voting. And if you haven't voted yet, vote.
Whatever.
CoreyandJoelRadio.com.
I'll whine some more, goddamn you.
CoreyandJoelRadio.com is the website. Sign up for the mailing list down there. Get Joel FM. All our other stuff. The naked stripper pictures we talked about, they're up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And email us at email@CoreyandJoelRadio.com. Corey's going to play some more rakes.
Get on the forums and.
Get on the forum and we'll discuss all this shit.
Start talking.
Yeah, baby. So play some more rakes. We're going to go to a break, and we'll see you after this.
We are the animals who have lost our hair, retained some of our teeth, and gained a choice. Through money and sex until satisfied. Then when it's time to rest, ask what's next. We are all animals. We are all animals. We are all animals. We are all animals.
Silent off to the tank control. When our instincts are egging us on. Biologists and chemists reducing our souls. And when we think about it, we're like a masterpiece.
job is done. We are the disciples who have lost our way. Kicked from our pedestal when Darwin burnt the book. We are all animals, we are all animals, we are all animals, we are all animals. I love to attain control when our instincts are ending our soul. Biologists and chemists reducing our souls. Genesis, like a masterpiece, is Grimm's the artist.
That's the Rakes there with We Are All Animals. Is that the name of the song?
Yes, sir. Like
from their album, which is called...
You might have picked it up because they repeated the chorus about 50 times.
Yeah, I don't know. What's their album called? I don't even know. Anyway.
I don't know.
Frigate.
Frigate. That's a great album.
It's a good album name, isn't it? Frigate.
Frigate. Doesn't that sound like a... It does sound like a band from the early 70s.
Frigate?
F-R-A-G-T-E. Frigate.
Yeah. All right, so we're back with you here. Corey and Joel, number 46 for you. We're going to talk about more movie stuff.
Yes,
we saw Narnia together. You want to talk about that?
Wow.
You want to lead the funeral for that?
God bless him.
That was not a great movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Joel said, hey, can I go see Narnia? And I said, sure, come along.
Well, I wanted to see Narnia, and I knew my girlfriend wasn't going to go to see it with me because she hates shit like that.
Well, it's very wise of her.
And, well, she just has a general hatred of, like, fantasy and science fiction.
Really?
So she's like, I'm not going to see it at all for that reason.
Really?
And I go, well, I'd like to see it just to see it, and if I can see it for free with you, that would be,
yeah,
you know, so... Yeah. Die, and we went, and...
I read those books, like, 20-plus years ago when I was a kid, and I forgot how much I didn't like them. Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
At the time, I thought, you know, you're a kid, you read a book, you go, okay, you'll buy anything.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And here's the thing with Narnia, the Chronicles of Narnia. All right, here's a little something, here's a little tip. First of all, there's better things out there. Harry Potter is better.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings, much better.
Yeah, my biggest complaint about Narnia was kind of trying to be Lord of the Rings, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's faux epic. Well, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien were buddies. They hung out at the same pub in Oxford and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they had a little overlap, a little cross, you know. But whatever. Here's the thing. No amount of CGI trickery in the world, no amount of special effects, no special effects budget will ever prevent a talking beaver from being stupid.
Well, the talking beaver was stupid. The appearance of Santa Claus in the middle made no friggin' sense whatsoever.
That's great.
And the religious overtones, the Jesus allegory.
I completely forgot. I had read those books. Like I said, I read maybe the first one and maybe one
and
of the
you
other
knew
ones.
Santa was in it.
Yeah, but I forgot. For those of you who haven't read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it's a story of the Pevensey children, who their dad gets killed. He's an RAF flyer, and so their mom sends him to live with. They didn't really point this out in the movie, but he's their uncle apparently, or like a cousin or something. He's a family member who's a crazy old professor in a big old musty house in the countryside. And they find that there's a wardrobe, which is a walk-in closet, because in old British houses, they didn't have closets built in. So people would buy these big pieces of furniture that they hung their clothes in. You walk into the closet, and you go into this magical fairy tale world of special, wonderful creatures called Narnia.
Right. And
are you bored already?
I'm bored, but I'm going to... Oh, well, okay, and it was the talking
and
animals.
All the animals in Narnia talk.
And there's guys with hooves and...
Right, and there's
the fawns.
Satyrs and fawns and all kinds of...
Minotaurs and stuff. Yeah, and
all your traditional...
The Minotaur looked good. Some of the things, the guy... Who's the guy with the horse body and the...
The centaur?
The centaur was the... He literally looked like a homosexual. And I know that sounds... I know that sounds like I'm a dick, but you can't look at it and go...
Well, he was beefy.
But he was all, like, oiled and muscled up, and he just looked at it, and he had, like, a like weird facial, like, hair. Like,
what
it was very...
What do? He's Samoan.
Nah, it wasn't like he was Samoan. It was like he had, like, a very groomed sort of...
Well, they put these, like, fake noses. They put these weird noses on him so that they're not... They didn't have nostrils. They had, like, side nostrils.
Yeah, it was...
It was very strange.
It was bad.
Not a good movie.
And there's, like, all these little British kids running around going, "Hello? Cool, what is this?"
Right.
"We're in Narnia with magical elves and
shite."
Yeah,
too many kids running around. It was very kiddy.
Little apple-y cheeked
little
girls.
And the kids were never scared of anything.
Yeah.
And the little girl was cute. The littlest girl, the sort of the lead.
Just adorable little apple-cheeked little moppet.
And then the chick that was the oldest chick, Susan.
Hey, you sick bastard.
Well, wait a minute. I wanted this chick. The actress, by the way. It's Anna Popplewell.
Oh,
I pulled it up.
Anna Popplewell.
Anna Popplewell. She's the actress.
I think this is her first film, right?
And I'd like to, if I may, on behalf of the show and whatever, wish her a happy 17th birthday this weekend.
Oh, okay.
And that's going to make her legal, Corey. So, yeah, my desire that I said she was hot afterwards.
That would make her legal in the state of Michigan.
She would be legal in the state of Michigan.
In the United Kingdom.
I think it might be 16 in the UK, correct.
Oh, goddamn.
So, yeah, as much as she was probably 14 when they shot it.
Seeing as the... drinking age in England is in utero.
Well, yeah.
You can drink, you know, you can drink right out of the womb.
So, that was my one thing is I think the hottest daughter was hot. The oldest daughter was hot. And you're like, "You're sick." And you're like,
"This from the
guy."
Like,
yeah, she had big giant lips.
This from the guy with the Lizzie McGuire cattle.
And what did you say about Anna Popplewell's lips?
They are DSLs. I will
DSL
say
stands for?
I believe you know what that.
Come on.
Digital subscriber line.
No, DSL stands for.
Oh, it's
come on.
You know what it means.
Come on. Niels doesn't know
dick
what
dick sucking lips.
Yeah, so Corey thought it too. And she's
got a couple of heavenly pillows.
She just turned 17. Yeah. So she's all right.
No, she got like Jolie lips.
It's okay to desire her, I think. Maybe. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
There's a podcast for that. It's out there called Petalogs, if you'd like to.
I didn't say it. If you go to Narnia, at least she's cute. I mean, she's
those assholes. There's like a white supremacist podcast and a child molester podcast that are always posting.
Right.
And people are like, "Can you please go away now?" It's kind of like how we feel about Homeless G.
Well, I don't know.
Homeless G's on our forum scaring away regular people.
He kind of does scare away regular people.
And then people go to Podcast Alley and they're like, "Hey, Sig Heil, the white, the white supremacist cast is on." Well, good.
But anyway, Anna Popplewell just turned 17. So
has she been in any other films?
She was in Girl with the Pearl Earring.
Okay.
She was one of the kids, I think, of what I don't know what that meant.
Sure. Girl with
a
Pearl
Necklace.
She was
in a bunch of
British.
You'd
like to put her in Girl with a Pearl Necklace.
All right, would you stop it?
That would be what you'd like to put her in.
So, that's a reason to see the movie because that chick's hot. And she's not hot. She's a girl.
She looks like a pint-sized Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, kind of. But you know what's weird? At the end of the movie, and I'm going to ruin it for people, but not that anyone cares because it's been in a book for 50 years. At the end, the kids are like grown up. So to speak.
Well, they make them kings and queens of Narnia, and they forget to go home, and they stay in Narnia.
They stay in Narnia,
years.
And then they're all grown up. And then the chick that was Susan, the oldest girl, the actress they got to be her like 10 years later, wasn't hot at all.
I guess not.
She's like, what happened? How do you're hot and then you're not?
Well,
that's a fantasy film right there.
I think maybe let's hope
her lips shrunk down.
Let's hope that Anna Popwell.
Yeah.
follows the road of Anna Paquin and, and not Anna Chlumsky. Do you see what I'm saying?
Was Anna Paquin naked in something?
Anna Paquin's been awful close to naked.
Like bare-bottomed and stuff like
that? She's been like in the pool in her underwear and stuff like that a lot of times. But
I saw the chick from My Girl recently, a recent picture of her.
Did you really?
And she's busted, dude. Just nasty looking.
Busted.
Like a fucking truck hit her face.
Wide open.
Like a fucking, like she got hit with the fucking sledgehammer in the eye.
Yeah.
And she never had any medical, maybe just an ugly chick.
So you ever make like one of those craft projects when you're, you know, a Boy Scout or something where you take like two halves of a coconut and make like a monkey face?
Exactly.
So that's what she looks like.
She's made out
just
of
brutal.
It looks like a third grade art project.
You're like, damn, man, Chelsea Clinton looks tight compared
she's
to
she's made out of macaroni. She's ugly.
Actually, I would bang Chelsea Clinton with a thunderous fury.
I'm going to second that. I think I hit you. Did you hear about a guy jumped over the White House fence last week and they arrested him? And they're like, how welcome you jumping the White House fence? He goes, I wanted to get to Chelsea Clinton.
Mm. Well, first of all, Chelsea wasn't at the White House that much because she was in college.
Yeah. And her dad's not the president anymore, douchebag.
Look, if you want to get in one of the Bush daughters, go ahead. But
And by the way, again, I still recommend Barbara over Jenna.
I don't think they're even at the White House.
One of them's at Yale, and I think the other one's at Texas.
In the White House.
University?
That Amy Carter, though, that was a piece of ass.
Oh, man, there's a hot dyke when you need one, Amy Carter.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the show tomorrow night,
there's a woman in comfortable shoes, Amy Carter.
Hottest presidential daughters. Call in. Your phone lines.
Patty Reagan.
Patty Reagan,
Reagan.
She's past her prime now, but...
you know who was hot? The Gore daughters. They never made it to the White House, but the Gore daughters
That's why I voted for...
The Gore daughters.
That's why I voted for Gore,
Eleanor Mondale, again, another one who didn't quite make it.
Eleanor Mondale made it back to the White House to blow Clinton.
He got so busted for that, and they all denied it, but she's so funny.
She used to... I'm serious. People go, oh, Monica. It's the truth, folks. Eleanor Mondale got 45-minute individual sessions with the president.
Weren't they Sunday morning jogging partners or something?
And yeah.
They'd go do each other.
He got busted for Monica because that fat bitch talked.
Right.
But he was Eleanor Mondale, who was smart enough to keep her mouth shut, was his real girlfriend.
But she wasn't an intern, so it was...
Right.
And then there's
no scandal involved there. But he was banging Eleanor Mondale in the Oval Office.
And we've heard Markey Post as well.
I love that Bill Clinton guy.
Markey Post, who was on the show Night Court.
I swear to God,
one
of my very first wet dreams was about Markey Post.
Markey Post is hot.
I can clearly remember I had two early wet dreams. One was about Daryl Hannah in a bathtub. And the other was about Markey Post. This was about 1986.
Wow.
Yeah.
I honestly never had a wet dream. That's because I was beaten off all the time. No. And I'm not saying I'm better than that.
That was just bullshit, Joel.
No, I'm saying I beat off so much that there was no reservoir because I was beaten off. There was no buildup.
Speaking of the reservoir, I once in my early stupid days told a girl I'd like to make her navel into a reservoir for my man load, and never talked to her.
How'd that work out for you?
Okay. Didn't hear from her again.
All right, so Narnia sucked. Don't bother with it. It's not Lord of the Rings. It's not that
really
cool.
If you're really into watching kids run around being faggy.
Look, the effects are fine, but if you've seen Lord of the Rings, you've seen it all done better.
They're not as good as Lord of the Rings.
They're not as good. Well, there's also fewer. Lord of the Rings would give you these big, cool, like sweeping shots of like the castles, and it all looked neat, and it just didn't look neat.
Set design. There's no comparison.
It was very generic and very ordinary in Narnia. It just wasn't as good.
Right. But speaking of Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that segue. Joel did not see this one, but I did. And it's out there, and it's maybe.
It opens by the time you're hearing this.
It'll be open tomorrow, Wednesday. And King Kong, everybody.
King Kong, very good, you said.
It is magnificent.
All right.
It is. It's a great movie. It's. Wow. What can I say? It's the greatest story about a 25-foot tall monkey ever made.
Oh,
I think,
that's
really.
Amazing.
Yeah. Really is. It's great. I mean, it's too long.
Okay.
Let's come out and say that right now.
Sure.
Way too
long. What part of it is too long? What is...
The first hour.
The first hour.
Is in the Depression in the 30s. And we got to get a big setup story about Naomi Watts is an actress and she can't get the job and her theater where she does vaudeville gets closed. You know, seriously, and we're sitting there going,
yeah, yeah, I can see that.
There's an hour of that shit at the front.
So you see the monkey how far in then?
At least an hour and a half.
Wow.
In a 3-hour movie.
Do they tease the monkey at all in the beginning?
No. Eesh. No. Jack, and you get like seriously a good 45 minutes at the top of Jack Black in New York trying to get funding to go to Africa and shoot this movie. And you get big scenes with him in the boardroom with the guy. It's like, what's going on? And Naomi Watts is like, I got a dream. I'm going to hoof it up and be a big star.
Yeah.
And Adrian Brody is like a screenwriter that she has a crush on.
Hmm.
They kind of changed that character around from the original.
Well, he was just a ship captain or something in the original, wasn't he?
I don't even know what he was.
He was like a, well, he was like Gilligan. Or
in
he
the
was
70s
like
a... one, he was like a biologist that wanted to study Kong.
Okay.
The Jeff Bridges played him with a big beard and a big hippie beard.
But I think in the original, he was just a guy on the boat.
I'm trying to remember what he was. He was some kind
I haven't seen it in probably 10 years, the original.
Anyway, this time he's a screenwriter or he's a writer or something. And it takes him forever to get to the goddamn
island. Well, yeah, get to the goddamn island.
And then when they do get to the island, it's holy shit for a good like hour and a half of just nonstop craziness.
Yeah.
The natives in this movie are the scariest things you've ever seen. I mean, this is scarier, folks, than Englewood at 3:30 on a Wednesday night. This is the darkest, scariest place in the world. This is above 128th Street. I mean, this is some serious,
some scary,
hardcore, scary motherfuckers. I mean, they don't even look like humans. They look like almost like orcs. The natives are like, they're all like crazy dancing around, like possessed and shit, and like piercings through their noses, and it's really disturbing. And they kidnap Naomi Watts, and then the gorilla shows up, and it's good.
All right, so King Kong, Big Pie, and I'm going to see that this weekend. And
it is. It's too long. You could almost come in an hour late and not miss much.
Not miss much. Yeah.
But it's great. I mean, Peter Jackson has the mastery of the form down, and you're going to get your money's worth. And it's the best reason I would say to actually go to a theater. Now, Joel has a new, nice new high def TV that he bought.
I do.
And we have that in the studio, but.
And I've been watching.
And it would look fine on this, but here's the thing with King Kong. He's a 25-foot tall monkey or 50 feet tall. When he's on the big screen, he's almost like scale. You know, he's almost like full size. So it's an excuse to go out to the movie theater, brave the theater, go out there, you know, wait in line, buy your tickets, pay $12.50 for nachos and some soda pop, you know, and pay your $4 for Baby Ruth and... snow caps?
Snow caps? You can get snow caps? Because
they're non-Pirels.
They're non-Pirels.
I don't know what the fuck a Pirel is, but
it's not. Whatever Pirel is, it isn't. It's a non-Pirel.
It's a non-Pirel.
Whatever Pirel is, we're not sure what a Pirel is.
Get your Sour Patch Kids or your whatever your Goobers, whatever. Things people never eat anywhere else.
Yeah, you never go to a store and buy.
Have you guys ever eaten a Goober outside of a movie theater?
Junior Mints?
No, nothing.
You guys don't buy it. All right. Whew, a lot of movie
King Kong's awesome. Go see it.
And King Kong didn't do very well in the Golden Globes. I guess Peter Jackson got a director nomination.
Well, I don't think anybody saw it until like last week.
Well, you know, I don't know. And then they're saying Munich was sort of panned and it's not getting nominations and it's not good.
Yeah.
Which I don't think anyone's really seen that, but I think the Golden Globe people have.
I'm going to see it this week, so I'll tell you. I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of looked good, and then people are saying that it's not good. So I don't know. Anyway,
who knows?
Let's move on. Should we do?
I thought Walk the Line was going to get more. Like, didn't Reese Witherspoon get nominated?
She would have been supporting actress then, right?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Scarlett Johansson, McClane.
Look, the Golden Globes. By the way, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association has their headquarters on La Cienega. I've seen it. One time, I used to do junkets all the time.
Oh, she's actress, musical, or comedy. See, they break that down too.
I used to do these junkets all the time, right, where the studios would send us out and while we watch stuff. Well, one time I went into the wrong room for lunch. I went into the room we'd had breakfast in, and they'd moved our lunch to another side. And I'm sitting down there, and I had a whole plate of food for lunch. And I look around, I'm like, what are all these mustaches? Who are these guys? I don't recognize these guys. And it was like all these like German guys, and it was the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, and like... The studio reps couldn't have gotten me out of there fast enough. They were like, don't interact with the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Okay.
Don't speak to the guys. And I was like, okay.
Right.
It's a mysterious organization.
Here is, let's do the, Mailbag? You ready for the mailbag? You ready to do the email? We got a lot of email. We haven't done a mailbag in forever, so we got a lot of email here.
You never know what you're going to get in the mail.
I know what we got, and should I kick it off?
We need some mailbag music behind us, but I can't think of
it. Okay, well, we'll think about that.
Yeah.
What about Hey, Hey, Mr. Postman?
Oh, that's really rich.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that great? Okay, so let's do some email. Thank you for sending it in. If you want to contribute to the email, we'll read it on the show at email@coreyandjoelradio.com. And if you want to just send us like a question, you know, we'll respond to that. We don't really respond to these emails necessarily. If you have a specific question or something's not working on the site, then email us and we'll write you back. Otherwise, we're probably just going to read it on the show.
Or if you'd like to blow us. I will respond to those
naked
letters.
Pictures of female.
Absolutely. Work. If you have a throat that needs fucking, send me a letter.
Okay.
All right.
Hey now. All right.
What? So, did I say something wrong?
I just.
Is there something wrong with that?
I don't know. So let me read the first one here. This is a guy.
And you're a woman.
And you're a woman. You need a throat fucking. So please, okay. Guys. A lot of fags that were looking for your ball sack. That are going to be disappointed now.
A lot of Brokeback Mountain fans.
Okay. So this is from a guy named Joshua. This is in response to show 43, which is the show we did right before the live show, and you specifically bitched about a lot of things. This is the subject of the email is great. Holy Jesus, you whining faggots. Joshua says, so I'm not on the mailing list, so I'm not on your forums. I do vote at Podcast Alley, but since that little freak out, I thought I'd at least give you the feedback you were screaming for, you little bitch. I'm going to say you were the little bitch in this one, by the way.
Really?
You were the one yelling and screaming really? At 43 more than I was. So,
And it worked.
And then he says, your show is goddamn funny. Sound clips are funny but stale now. Put more in rotation.
Yeah.
And time them better. This is all about you.
That's faggot stuff. You want to call it by its name? That's strictly for
well, that's
fags.
The first time today for that one. Don't be
man,
such...
I'll suck your dick real good, brother.
Don't be such bitches, you a-holes.
What's that? You get a problem with my stuff? All right. Stuff?
We've said it. You a-holes should be beyond needing scrubs like me to validate you're doing the show. You are funny and you know it. I feel dirty for sucking you off. Now are you happy? Just stay consistently funny.
Man, I'll suck your dick real good, right,
I'm
brother.
I couldn't resist
I'm
it.
Turning off your computer until you learn to behave. And the guy, because the guy's kissing our ass here. You guys, at least you scum sucker. You are quality scum suckers who can at least pull a woman into the studio that isn't your co-host's mother, and I applaud you for that. That's a shot at Nobody Likes Sonya.
That's true. We have had many women.
We've had actual
studio.
Women with working vaginas in the show.
Well, some of them.
Some of them. And then he says, this is funny. By the way, my wife used to work at the comedy club in Arizona. You better not have banged her and brag about it on the show. And then he says, I am drunk at the end.
That's
so
good.
That's actually a really good email, Joshua.
I think there's more than one comedy club in Arizona, but if I ever do get down there, I'll make an effort to bang your wife.
I have not performed comedy in Arizona.
You sometimes will get offers, though, to go there for $150.
Yeah, I'm going
to
drive to Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Michigan.
42 hours of driving later. All right, this one's from Mike. Subject, funny podcast, but stop that cackling.
Oh, now this is one that dumps on me, I think.
Hey, I don't know which one of you is the one. Which one of your is the one with a high pitched cackle? But I almost single handedly ruins what otherwise is a very good podcast.
I believe he's referring to my laugh.
It could be your cackle. Yes. Other than that, keep up the great work. I especially like your podcast. Sucks editions. I got turned on to you by Nobody Likes Onions.
Oh,
they were mad about you featuring them on your podcast.
Now he's a fan of ours.
I was a fan of theirs, but I can't listen to them the same way after listening to you guys take shots at them because I realized that a lot of what you said is pretty much true. You do have some funny bits, but lately their show has been ass, and I've stopped listening.
Yeah, fuck Nobody Likes Onions.
And Mike, you're part of a growing trend in America. People who can't stand Patrick from
and actually, I want to say this. I should put up a thing on the forum for this. We need suggestions for shows that you want to hear us do on your podcast sucks. Because we're going to start cutting those again.
Here's the thing.
Giving them out as bonus features. Please, so get on the mailing list.
Please do, because otherwise I have to listen to other shows.
Yeah, if you just tell us that this show particularly sucks, send us an email at email@coreyandjoelradio.com or post in the forum. We'll find the shows. We have some thoughts, though, right?
For a while, Joel refused to listen to podcasts, so I would have to go and look for some.
Yeah, Corey was recruiting the bad ones.
And
then I was
chopping
them down.
Believe me.
Yeah, we hate to listen to other shows.
So if you have somebody you want us to tackle,
Mm-hmm.
Wait, there's so many. Bib and Yaz, we haven't slapped
Bib and Yaz,
them.
We really need to smack them. And
it's a 3-hour show. Bib and Yaz, it would take me so long to find something.
Kick-Ass Podcast, we're probably going to destroy.
Yeah.
The Tipsy Chicks. But if you have other suggestions, just send them in. Because we actually got rid of this and that.
I might want to go off the map and find some real oddball.
Find some ones that aren't just big dickheads on Podcast Alley, which is a lot of
which
what we
do. Which is easy to find.
All right, so let me read the next one here. This is from a guy, another Michael. It's a different Michael, I am assuming. It says, Corey and Joel, since I received my iPod for my birthday, I've tried to find podcasts for my 75-minute commute here in Seattle. I stumbled across you guys, and I've been hooked since. I've listened to everything from show 14 forward and currently up to number 35. If you stop, I'll have to listen to the fucking drivel on Seattle FM or some other lame fucking podcast like PK&J. So keep up the good work. Here's a couple of suggestions, though. Mike has suggestions. Get a fucking tip jar. Don't be so proud to accept money. Based upon what I hear, you guys could use the bank. We might put up a tip jar on the site.
You know what? Absolutely. I think we are going to put up a tip jar.
But we're having
today.
A hard time getting people to vote for free, so to actually contribute money.
We're going
to
put up a tip jar.
We
got a couple random PayPal donations, but
yeah.
You know what? I think this week we'll put up a tip jar. Okay. I like your idea. You know what? Anything that involves more money for us?
Sure.
I'm for.
And then here's suggestion
the
too.
The Corey and Joel holiday ornament.
This guy's behind the times because he wrote us like last week, but this is old stuff that we stopped to quit eating on the air. It's fucking annoying. We sort of covered that, and you didn't even have anything to eat. Where are you going? There's nothing to eat.
I'm looking for something to eat.
There's nothing to eat in the studio. Sit down.
Usually some candy or something.
There's nothing here in the studio to eat. So. We kind of stopped eating on the air. We did the Toffee Fae thing, and maybe we'll bring that back, but that sort of gave us an identity, and then we move on.
We haven't had, like, Cheetos in a long time.
We haven't had Toffee Fae, or we had Dots the one day.
We used to eat Andy Cap hot fries on the air. Like, just the crunchiest things you could ever imagine.
Oh, there's my cackle.
There's the cackler. Joel's the Batman villain, cackler.
And then one more suggestion he gave us is Corey... When you're acting serious, get your mouth up to the mic and speak. We can't hear you.
Okay.
That is true. This is better. You've done. And I've turned up Corey's level in the last
right
few shows.
I'm going to get right up on the microphone.
He says, and his name is Irish Mike.
Irish Mike, I'm being very serious right now.
Yeah.
Please go get a woman. Find something better to do with your life. This is serious.
He says, why don't you bag on the mix of the world? Well, we do, Irish Mike.
And give your fucking liver a break, you goddamn drunken Irish whore. You lousy, no good. All you do is bitch about the English. They're your problems. Get some melanin in your skin and stop drinking.
You drunk-headed redhead fag. All right, go ahead.
Red pubic hair, not well, it is kind of hot on a girl.
But not on Irish Mike.
On a guy, it's a disaster.
On Irish Mike, that's fine.
We talked about this. Joel and I had a conversation about this. Red-haired guys don't age well.
No, we've gone through this. Sorry.
Freckles. Conan O'Brien going to look disgusting.
He looks very weird in HD, by the way. If you watch,
I love Conan, but he's like 40, and now when he gets to 50, it's going to be a mess. Next one, Brian writes about other podcasts, which we just talked about. This is an idea I'm sure you guys will hate, but I'll offer it anyway. The worst part about getting into podcasting is filtering through all the bad ones to finally find something worthwhile. You guys do your part with your podcast sucks, but I would suggest a more direct and positive approach. Why not partner up with other shows of decent quality and plug each other? I listen to you guys and would probably listen to the podcast that you recommend. I know it's funnier to blast a bad show than plug a good one, but the field is currently too wide, and I think a proactive approach might expedite getting it narrowed down. That's a great idea, except they all suck.
What's this guy's name?
Brian.
Brian, I'm going to now officially give you my list of other podcasts that you should be listening to. Okay, so here's the next email. Brian, they all suck. Seriously, try to listen.
They all suck.
I mean, like Ricky Gervais does a podcast that funny. And you know what? Listen to Howard Stern. And fuck everybody else. Listen to us and Howard, and that's it. You're done. That's all you need. Really, the other podcasts are just homos. They're not good. They're terrible shows.
I might recommend Adam Carolla when he starts his show, but that's about it.
Adam Carolla is going to start a terrestrial show, so go look at that. Anyway, we have a guy named Alan here. Alan says, I'm 3 hours up the 401 towards Toronto. So this is a guy from, hello from across the board, Canadian here. He says, you are getting to the adult drive commute listeners who wouldn't know a Trek or Star Wars character from his ass. You will be on the real radio at some point in the future, and you will make big money. This 25 years married father of three, 47-year-old Canadian insurance company VP loves your show and your comedy. You are at your best when you wing it. Well, Corey's good at winging it.
Yeah.
And please recommend some podcasts to me.
Haven't written one piece today.
Nothing.
Won't be writing them for the next show.
So Alan says recommend podcasts. Alan, I refer you to the last guy.
They just keep wanting us to recommend other shows.
Get on the mailing list and we'll give you
bonus content.
We'll give you shit. You can listen to Jerk Off Home Companion on your ride in.
Guys, this is what now. We're almost 50 shows in. Hundreds of hours of Corey and Joel radio available for you.
You've got 100 hours of shit to listen to.
You must have plenty to listen to. And all the bonus stuff, come on.
The bonus stuff, we're not going anywhere.
All right, here's another long one from Jim. I think Jim's written us before. I'm halfway through show 43 and it stopped so I could provide you with some affirmation. This is the show where I whined about no one.
Yeah, I know, but no one loves us, yeah.
Then the guy wrote, I love the Corey and Joel radio show. I love the bonus features, especially your podcast sucks, like 100 times.
And he keeps writing, it's a very long
email. This was like, I remember being in a very early, like 1983, in like elementary school doing like computer programming. And you'd write in this like long load, this long code, this like 45 letter digit sequence that you'd have to plug in, and it would write your name over and over.
Yeah, and that's kind of what this guy, he copied and pasted his comments over about how he, but his comments is he loves us and we love him. So
thank you.
Anything else? Does he say anything?
Back in school, I had to write such stuff 100 times. I think 20 is enough in your case. They want more podcast sucks because I'm telling you, they know they suck.
Okay, well, Jim agrees with us then.
Yeah, and he's afraid that Homeless G and Derelict are ruining the boards, which, you know, yeah.
You're right, and he's on the formula. He's DCCPA or whatever that is.
I think that's the same guy, yeah.
Yeah, that's Jim.
But get on the forums, people.
Get on the forum, douches.
Give me something to...
Tell us what podcast you want us to destroy, and we'll do that.
I can't spend all my internet time looking at girls on MySpace I want to bang. So please give me something to delve
into. Corey's looked at every chick in MySpace.
I've literally looked at every girl within a 500-mile radius on MySpace.
Okay.
Now, all right, let's see.
I got one more. How many more you got? I got two left. You got one left left? Well, if I got two, I'll do one. I got two and you got one, then I'll do mine.
I have two.
Oh, you have two? Okay, well, fuck it. I'll do mine first. Hey, guys. This is our friend Hope. We've talked about. This is about vitiligo. We talked about how that guy, Lee Thomas, your buddy, newscaster, exposed his vitiligo, and it was disgusting.
The tragic, blotchy.
And she says, I love the show, so what's the explanation for reverse vitiligo? That's what I have. Basically, regaining pigment in areas. No kidding.
Really?
She goes, I vote and I want my bonus crap. Thanks, guys. Hope.
So Hope actually
is a
getting
black
darker.
Woman who is getting darker. I don't know what that's called.
Really?
That's, I don't know. That's called...
It's called scary.
Oh, now you're wrong. No, that was evil.
I saw a picture of Hope once. She's a
Hope
lovely
girl. Hope was kind
girl.
Of attractive, right? Mm-hmm. Hope was hot.
She's kind of a Keisha Knight Pulliam sort
okay,
of.
Okay, we like Hope, so yeah. I don't know where hype.
Yeah.
We will fully examine Hope to find the dark spot.
Hope, you send us photos... Send us photos or come in person and we'll investigate.
We will investigate the dark spots.
So I am a physician. This is just a brief one. Think your best shows are the ones with other comedians. The two shows were great from the live shows.
Yeah, the live shows were great. Thanks. We got a lot of those emails. Read your next one.
Okay.
I got a funny one. I'm going to end
Here we
the show
go.
With this one.
Here's yet another one from the Great White North. I am Cam. I live in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories, Canada. I've been listening to the podcast since show 23. Okay, Yellowknife, for those of you who aren't aware, which
like
would
Alaska.
Be most of the world,
yeah.
is so far fucking north, polar bear balls freeze off on contact with the air up there. It's like, it is like, it's way the hell north above Saskatchewan in Canada.
It's real. It's like basically the Alaska of Canada. It's like not even really a province.
I don't know what you could do. So obviously, I guess people are going to listen to our show in places like that. I'm waiting to get letters from Greenland or McMurdo Base.
Well, we got Reykjavik, Iceland. We've read that on the show and stuff. So we've got some far places.
I imagine Yellowknife.
Perth.
All you have to do at Yellowknife is like eat beans out of a can, listen to our show, and like rape a badger. That's about all you can do up there. So,
thank you for listening, Cam. We love you.
Yeah, thanks for Cam. And he had a bunch of other stuff, including how much Ferg sucks.
Oh, Ferg does suck. Thank you, Cam.
Yeah. See, this is the problem. We tell people about bad shows. They listen to them.
And then they listen.
And they're mad at us.
But doesn't he say he likes? Well, I think he says he likes.
I felt obliged to listen to one episode to see if you were right. And you were. It sucked, and I scrapped it in 15 minutes. His skits with his freaky wife are retarded. But who am I to comment? I listen to Barefoot Radio and Dawn and Drew. And he says his head hangs in shame. Well, I don't...
Well, if you're in Yellowknife, it's okay to listen to Dawn and Drew. Maybe Dawn and Drew is exciting if you're in Yellowknife and there's nothing happening.
The two shows you just named are not the worst shows ever. But Air Ferg is.
Air Ferg is the worst show ever.
God.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Cam. Thank you, Cam. represent
probably your most northern listener. Yeah, you'd actually have to be in space.
I'm not sure if the guy in Reykjavik is farther north. We'll look that up. I'll have that back. We'll say if the guy in Reykjavik or in Yellowknife is further north.
You'd likely have to be in Nome, Alaska or Siberia to be farther north than Yellowknife.
So Yellowknife is very far north. And lastly, God, we're almost out of time. You know what? I'm going to save this last one. This was your gay love letter, but we're out of time.
Oh, no.
Basically.
Oh, come on.
We're out of time. So we'll do that later. We'll do that on the next show.
Oh, seriously. Just knock
it off. We'll save it. I don't have time. It's too long. I literally don't have time. We got to say goodbye.
You can read it real quick.
We got to say goodbye.
Don't tease him like that.
Basically, he says, Corey, this is his buddy that he sees at the bar. He said, I think, I'm not doing it justice. Our love has always been doomed by the brutal, unforgiving society that we live in. Let's find a secret motel somewhere in Waterford where we can express out our true feelings away from the cruel, ignorant, prying eyes of society.
What?
And what keeps us apart. I'll be the bottom if you want whatever we can feed each other toffee, Faye. Man, I wish I know how to quit you. That's our friend Paul from the bar here in Ferndale.
That is
That's
tragic.
Paul. Corey, you got to play some music. We're seriously done
Are
here.
You
Thanks for listening.
Me?
We might have Paul on. That was a funny email.
Paul,
so
I'm touched.
You.
I'm touched, and I hopefully won't be touched by you anytime soon.
And we got to go, folks. Thanks for listening to 46. Here's more of the Rakes. Don't forget to email us. Email at CoreyandJoelRadio.com.
I'm getting gay love letters now.
Join us on the
I'm
forum.
I'm getting gay guys that want to touch my balls.
And we'll see you next time, everybody. Good night.
Oh, God.
An open book. I can't.